Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to CEAT Limited's Q3 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Kotak Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rishi Vora from Kotak Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. A very good morning to all. Hope you all and your families are keeping safe and feeling well. I would like to thank the management of CEAT for giving us the opportunity to host this call. Today we have with us Mr. Anant Goenka, Managing Director, Mr. Kumar Subbiah, CFO, and Investor Relations team. With this, I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Anant Goenka for his opening remarks, post which we can open the session for Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rishi, and good morning, everyone. A warm welcome to CEAT's quarter three earnings call, and thank you all for joining us today. This is Anant Goenka, and we have with us our CFO, Kumar Subbiah, on the call with us. I hope all of you are safe and well, and as usual, we will start with brief remarks from me and Kumar, and post that, we'll take up Q&A. Quarter three this year has been unusually challenging for the industry, primarily due to slowing domestic demand and unabated cost pressures. The results for the quarter reflect the challenges on this account, with negative growth in both the replacement and OEM segments. During this period, our focus was predominantly on careful calibration of our response to the evolving demand dynamics by ensuring adequate liquidity by tightening cash flows and managing inventory levels by moderating production. In terms of the replacement segment, commercial volumes, which include truck, bus, and farm segments, remained weak on account of liquidity pressures and high fuel prices. Passenger segments started to show some weakness towards the latter part of December due to the start of wave three and some uncertainties as a result of that. Overall, replacement volumes declined by about 4.5% sequentially and 14% on a year-on-year basis. Sequential decline was more pronounced in passenger categories, while a year-on-year decline was led by commercial segments. In terms of OEM demand, the truck and bus segments saw good traction. PCUV also saw some improvement due to some easing in semiconductor shortage. However, farm and two-wheeler demand was sluggish, leading to overall OEM volume decline of about 3% and about 7% on a year-on-year basis. Exports has continued its healthy performance across categories, especially in the OHT segments, and this has resulted in sequential volume growth of about 5% and year-on-year growth of about 27%. Exports continues to be a focus area as we undertake investments across products, marketing, and new markets and channel expansion. Overall, we saw sequential volume decline of about 2% on a year-on-year basis, a decline of about 6% during quarter three. On the cost front, our raw material basket per kg went up by about 4% sequentially on account of higher natural rubber and crude prices. This inflation is expected to continue, although at a lower level, into next quarter as well. We took staggered price increases to offset the raw material impact, but these were towards the latter part of the quarter and was a little lower than what was required. Coupled with some amount of adverse product mix and inventory impact, the gross margins contracted by about 3% over quarter two level. We exercise strict control measure, cost control measures, and despite several headwinds, we were able to maintain our operating expenses at near Q2 levels. However, given severe gross margin and lower volumes, EBITDA margins contracted by about 3.4% over quarter two. We ended the quarter with a negative PAT of approximately 15 crores on a standalone basis. As a part of our efforts to align CapEx with market outlook, we have decided to moderate some of our CapEx plans. As regards to our truck radial expansion, we were primarily focusing on the first phase, which involved an investment of about 700 crores. We are planning to push that by about a year vis-a-vis our current schedule and indefinitely postpone the balance 500 of phase two, because strategically we have decided to increase our focus on the OHT segments. Meanwhile, we intend to complete this downstream capacity expansion of OHT to its full capacity of about 105 tons in the next 12 to 15 months. Given these changes, we would revise our growth capex guidance to about 800 crores in FY22 versus 1,000 crores that we had planned, and in FY23 to about 700 to 750 crores. Our association with OEMs continue to improve. Recently, Skoda unveiled its premium midsize sedan Slavia on Seat tires. The two-wheeler EV business is another exciting space with strong drivers, such as rising fuel prices and government incentives. We are working very closely with all the major two-wheeler EV OEMs. We were also awarded for our R&D capabilities by Questel India, recognizing the remarkable work done by us on intellectual properties. Also, our premium range of tires has received encouraging response from the market on account of good quality products in nearly across segments. IPL 2021 continued in October, and we were associated with the event as the strategic timeout partner once again. Our Puncture Safe tires also won the best new product launch in the Smarties India 2021 and gold medal in the Brand Equity Media Strategy Awards. With respect to ESG, we have achieved close to 32% gender diversity in our new hirings so far in FY22. We also introduced a program in-house called InWeave. It's an internship program for women aspiring to return to the corporate world and for specially abled candidates. We received a very overwhelming response and have been recruiting women to come back into the workforce, back into CET as well. The current environment for the auto and tire industry has been benign since wave two because of the uncertainty brought about, the disruption in economic activity as a result, coupled with high fuel prices and other commodity prices. This had an impact on overall spends at all levels and resulted in lower confidence as well. However, we have witnessed sharp spurt in growth during the brief periods of stability. We believe that as the pandemic eases, we should see a more robust growth across categories with improved economic activity and consumer spends. I feel confident that despite the challenging quarter, that we are well positioned to leverage on the opportunities to get back on growth with strong product mix and consequent improvement in margins and profitability as and when the demand uptick happens. With this, I will hand over the call to Kumar.
Thank you, Anand. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining our quarter three FY22 earnings call. I'll share some further financial data points with you all, post which we can enter Q&A session. First, regarding revenue, our consolidated revenue for the quarter stood at 2,413 crores, a sequential decline of about 2%, which was led by volume decline, and year-on-year growth of about 9%, which was driven by higher realization on account of price increases that we took in the last 12 months. Now, coming to gross margin, raw material costs continued to rise and impacted our gross margins, which stood at 34%, a sequential decline of about 290 basis points. Our blended raw material cost went up by 4% in line with our estimates. We managed to take approximately a little over 2% price increase during the quarter, and the increases happened across categories, and product mix also played a role adversely due to lower replacement sales, leading to drop in our gross margins during the quarter. RM prices continue to increase, though at a slower pace now. As per the current market conditions, we expect that our blended raw material cost to go up by about 1.5% in quarter four or quarter three, which means that we would still need to take more price increases in the current quarter and also in the coming quarters and hope the demand situation improves and becomes more conducive for the same. Our overall debt increased by about 256 crores on a consolidated basis sequentially, and now our debt as of 31st December stood at 2,260 crores. We incurred a project capex of about 145 crores in quarter three, and overall about 480 crores in the first 9 months of the current financial year. Our project capex outlook for current year stands revised from earlier estimate of about 1,000 crores to around 800 crores for the current expansion projects as covered by Anand. During the quarter, we also managed to bring down our inventory levels by about 112 crores. However, as payables declined more significantly during the quarter, our working capital still went up by about 63 crores. We intend to further reduce our inventory, largely in raw materials, in quarter four. And also, our decision to review our working capital and reduction in the estimate for the current year, we expect our debt levels to be within our internal leverage ratio thresholds. Now, coming to operational expenses, we continue to monitor our costs tightly. Inflation was prominent across other costs, including our distribution cost on account of increase in fuel costs. We were able to largely curtail some discretionary spends and maintain our operating costs at Q2 level in the quarter three. Our consolidated EBITDA for the quarter stood at 143 crores, translating to a margin of 5.9% of our turnover. Depreciation declined versus quarter two, as there was one-off effect in the previous quarter, that is in quarter two, on account of treatment of long-term leases, which we had explained during our last call. During the quarter, the credit rating agency, CARE, carried out a rating assessment and affirmed AA rating for long-term and A1 plus for short-term with stable outlook. Now we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Sir, can we open the call for a Q&A session?
Yes.
Sure, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashutosh Tiwari from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So firstly, you mentioned the replacement volume declined 14% YOY. So can you provide some color on the segment-wise decline, like two-wheeler, tractors, truck, and all these?
Yes. So overall, majority of this decline came in the truck segment. Last year, same time was a very high kind of a base year with fair amount of pent-up demand that came in. If you recollect, our growth rates may have been somewhere around 25%, and that caused an impact in impact on the market. So I'd say truck bus was primarily down by over 20-25% out of this impact. The rest of it was much more positive. We saw positive growth in PCUV, good growth in PCUV, in fact, good growth in two-wheeler. It was only in the commercial vehicle segment and the tractor segment that we saw negative growth.
Okay, so like the two-wheeler and PCR was like good growth means it is high single digit or it was lower?
No. Yes, so so passenger car would be at about double-digit growth, 15% plus kind of growth levels. Two-wheeler would be somewhere at a single-digit growth, and truck and bus was at negative growth. Primarily, most of this coming out of the truck bus buyer segment.
Okay, truck bus buyer segment. Okay. And in terms of price increases, we have mentioned the 2% increase was taken during the quarter. So was it effective for the full quarter or some part came in December month?
No, it wasn't effective for the full quarter. It would have, I think some of it came early part of November. or mid-November. So I'd say it's between November 1st and 15th was the time when a large part of the price increase took effect.
Okay, and any price increase, let's say January or December end?
We've taken about a percentage price increase in the two-wheeler segment in January. We are hoping to take about a couple of percentage points in this quarter. Nothing is firmed up yet, but between Jan and March, maybe another 2 percentage points across the board.
And lastly, on this payable receivable, you said mentioned is an increase quarter on quarter. So, like it was around 1,022 crores as of September 30th. So, why is it increasing while demand is weak, and how do you see it going ahead, or say, in this March quarter?
Kumar, would you like to
elaborate? So I didn't say receivables. I said payables came down. Okay, receivables were largely as of 30th September.
Okay, good. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, sir.
The next question is from the line of Jay Kale from Elara Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So I just wanted your qualitative comments on the demand trajectory. You mentioned on the replacement side specifically, you mentioned that, you know, it was a high base of last year and hence truck segment declined. But how would you rate this demand? Is it more of a high base, or would we be still lower than the 2019 December level? Or, you know, we're still above those 2019 levels, and it's just that a pent-up of last year has caused this double-digit decline on the CV side. And how are you seeing the trends going in Jan, Feb, March? Because, you know, what we understand is that this in this quarter, in Q3, the price increases has been, you know, a tad lower than what you had seen in the earlier two, three quarters. So is it to do that you are a little more cautious now in taking the price increases given the weakness in demand, or you think that this is a temporary phenomenon and price increases can be very much possible in this quarter, current quarter?
Right. So I think on the commercial vehicle side, there is a slowdown in demand on the replacement side that we had seen. To that extent, I think there is still continued some pressure on the CV side. But two-three-wheeler and PCUV were pretty good in the last quarter, except for the latter half of December, when this third wave kind of impact started coming. There were some closures that happened in some of the cities, lower footfalls, lower travel, etc. But with this resuming, things getting better maybe by February, I'm quite confident about two-three-wheeler and PCUV coming back on the replacement side. On the OEM side, I'm quite confident about, I mean, there is a clear uptick we are seeing on commercial vehicle demand. That, I think, is a considerable shift between what was happening, say, maybe in August, September, October, going forwards into quarter three and quarter four. OEM will make up for the loss in replacement segment to some extent, at least. And international business is looking quite strong. We've seen good growth, and that momentum is continuing into this year as well.
Understood. And also, if you can just broadly comment, you know, from the Q3 FY21, you know, last year, December quarter, till now, and going up to Q4 of FY22, how much of a overall cost increase have you seen, and how much of an overall price increase have you taken, and how much more is needed to offset that pressures? And would Q4 be the last of the raw material pressures as of what you see today, and Q1 it should start kind of declining?
Right. So on a year-on-year basis, say from quarter three to quarter three, we've seen about a 40% increase in raw material pricing. Against that, we've taken about a 15% kind of price increase. We are short, I would say, by about 5 to 6%, which is what is reflected in our average margin. Say an average margin is 10 to 12%, 10% range, say. We are at about 5% EBITDA margin. So that is the kind of price increase that we need to take in addition to whatever further inflation that may happen. As Kumar shared, we are at about seeing about another percentage and a half increase in raw material from quarter three to quarter four. And then hopefully things should stabilize. If you look at natural rubber, it has peaked at about 180, 190 rupees per kg. It is now at about 165, 175 kind of range. So to that extent, there's been some minor correction on that side. Crude, on the other hand, has gone up a little bit. But looks like the pace of inflation has certainly come down. And hopefully
quarter one will remain stable in comparison to quarter four. Between now and, say, the next 4 months, 5 months' time, we'll be able to take some price increases. The ability to take price increases is difficult. I don't have an answer to that. But we are going to endeavor for making up this loss in or the gap in the price increases. I think it is an industry issue. I don't think we have lost market share, nor have we taken lower pricing increase than competition. To that extent, I feel confident that if the industry is down, I think everyone will be under a fair amount of pressure to take price increase.
Understood. So out of the 5% required price increase, maybe 2% you could take in Q4, as you mentioned. So balance 3 to 4% is something that you will require over Q1, Q2 to get back to your original margin. Is that fair and
correct? Approximately, yes. I didn't take into account the 5% is something I say we should have taken until now. Since we are seeing another percentage and a half price increase, maybe I would change this to 6% because there's further inflation that may happen. So, but range bound, yes, that's what I hope we are able to do.
Understood. And just one last question. How would you, I know it's early days, but on your EV two-wheeler OEM orders, from the startups, is it fair to assume that you would have a higher market share on the OEM side with the EVs that you have in the ICE, say maybe more than 30%? Going forward, how does it look with the, now the incumbents also coming up with new launches? How are your orders for the for their EV launches?
So we're very happy with our position there. We are there with maybe 80 to 90% of all the EVs in the market. And we would be having a share of business of about 60% overall for the market, whereas our normal two-wheeler market share is at about, say, 28 to 30%. So we are happy with our position on the OEM EV side.
Perfect. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just to reconfirm, your price increase would depend on demand conditions. So you're saying it's a tough to call kind of decision. So I just wanted to confirm that. And the second question is on the payables which have fallen. Is that is that a one-off or would you, like for example, in the March quarter, would the payables increase as part of a regular cycle? And could you also reiterate your internal debt guidelines, please? Thank you.
Sure. So I think price increases is something which is much needed at this point of time. And as I said, I feel it is an industry, while commercial vehicle demand is under pressure, two-wheeler and passenger car is relatively okay. We will aim for further price increases, but difficult for me to give a clear answer as to when and how much it will happen. On the payables and debt position, Kumar, would you like to?
Yeah. See, payable reduction in quarter three is on account of lower arrival of materials and mix of material. Like we had more imported raw materials and less of local materials. When you import materials, you tend to pay on arrival. In case of local materials, you tend to have a little longer payment cycle or payment terms. Okay, so. What also happened in quarter three was that import arrival was more because the transit times came down. Okay. And it was taking around 60 days for a consignment to come from Southeast Asia to India till October and till early November. However, the transit time came down from 60 days to 38 days, and eventually toward December, it came back to a normal pre-COVID level of around 25, 26 days. So therefore, we received more imported materials, and that led to paying those suppliers on arrival. So it's more a one-off. We expect our payables to come back to a normal level. Approximately, our payables in the range of about 1,900 to 2,000 crores, covering all, not only raw materials, services. And during the quarter, we witnessed about 180 crores kind of a reduction. We expect it to come back to normal levels, but we will still control our receipts in the quarter four of raw materials. So you may not see a big jump in payables by end of March.
But however, that drop that we witnessed in quarter three will be able to partly reverse in quarter four. Regarding your last question on debt level, our internal threshold with respect to debt is 3 to debt EBITDA is, threshold is 3, and we would be in line with that internal threshold with respect to debt in the quarter four.
So thank you very much. If I can squeeze in one more industry-related question, the CV segment, do you see that the freight operators are not able to pass on the higher cost, that is increased freight rates, or are you just seeing that the utilization itself dropped in the last month or so?
So I think utilization has come down to a certain extent, but I think the freight price increases, which were not passed on as much in the last quarter, has begun to get passed on, whether it is corporates or whether it is government. There has been some freight shifts that have happened. I think also one change this time after wave two is that the EMI moratorium that was given in the last wave one, that is of course not there. So to that extent, the EMIs by the fleet operators need to be paid. So all of that is putting some pressure on the industry.
So thank you very much and wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jinesh Gandhi from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you first talk about what was the overall volume decline in the quarter?
Yes, I did share that with you, about 4%. Overall, just give me a second. I think about 3%, 4.5% was in replacement segment.
Right.
But I think overall was at about 2 to 3%.
On QQ basis?
That's right.
And on YY?
Year on year was at about 5%, 5.5%.
I must see YY decline. Okay. And the second question pertains to the pricing pressure. So are we seeing the pricing or lack of price increases, adequate price increases across segments, or any particular segments where pressures are higher, where compression is not taking adequate price increases?
So I think there is more pressure on the commercial vehicle segment. The passenger segments is a little bit on the lesser side at this point of time, as we've taken the price increase on two-wheeler in January, about 1%. Passenger car is also relatively okay versus CV at this point of time. But overall, it is clearly much less than what we would have liked.
Okay. And lastly, on the OHT capacity expansion which we are doing, so what would be our current capacity and utilization, and by when do we plan to take it to 105 tons per day?
So we are today at about 50 tons per day. We are fully utilized at this point of time. We are going to be taking this up to 80 tons per day approximately by middle of this year, calendar year. So by July or August, expansion will be completed. And then we will be looking at another 105 tons per day. That investment has not yet begun. But over the course of the next 15 months or so, we hope to invest that and look at taking it up to 105 tons per day.
So from 80 to 105, we have not yet committed the capex.
That's right. So 80 tons by, say, quarter three, or latter part of quarter two, and then 100 plus tons from about, year and a half from now.
Okay. Right. And
that is our farm radial capacity. We are also have bias capacity, which we already have in our older plants that we are patient.
Right. Got it. And last question on the export side. So export clearly has been doing well, and OHT is driving this part of it. But on the non-OHT side also, I believe momentum has been fairly strong with good growth in, across the segment. So can you talk more about how do we expect growth in exports over the next 2 to 3 years? Which segments, apart from OHT, will also benefiting out of that?
Yes, I think we are most excited about the international business for us. People are looking at a China plus one strategy, and that presents a great opportunity for Indian players. And to that extent, we are seeing very good growth now and continuing going forward into the next few months or years' time across all categories. So for us, we will be starting, we're looking at huge growth in EU passenger car, where we have already been present. We are increasing our range, entering new countries like France and Germany. And with that, we will be looking at very high growth in EU. In addition, we are going to be launching our truck radial tires for EU. Again, you're talking about a very large market there, and that will help in strong utilization. This will happen by in another four to six months' time, we will be launching that, and that will help in further growth. And then over time, I'd say we're still about a year out, where we will be looking at US markets as well for passenger car and truck radial. So with that, we think the international business as a percentage of our revenues will grow substantially.
Got it. So it should do, exports should grow much, much ahead of the domestic market over the next 2 to 3 years.
That's right.
Thanks. That's
margins are also strong in that category. So I think the mix will really improve.
Right, right. Great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So sorry to probe more on the price hike side of it. Just wanted to understand on price hike, obviously, what kind of pushbacks are you getting? Is it more because of inflation that you are getting a pushback from dealers? Is it because the demand is weak, you are not able to take up through? Or is it because the competition are not going through ahead with the price hike that you are not able to take a price hike? So just some more details on that front.
So item 2 and 3 are in a way linked, right? If demand is down, people want to sell more tires or more products, and therefore price increases don't happen as easily and utilization is a little bit lower. So I think it is between points 2 and 3 when demand is under a little bit of pressure on the replacement side and competitors are not taking up price increase. So we have to manage that way, particularly, as I said, in the CV segment where we are not in the top two or three players at this point. On OEM side, it is largely formula-based, so we are seeing continuous price increases happening there. And on the exports, international business side also, we are seeing steady price increases. So it is primarily the replacement segment where there is some pressure.
So if I have to take this point ahead, in the last 2 years, if I look at this quarter versus 2 years back revenues, the revenues are up almost 40%. Even if I take a 15% impact of pricing, the volumes are still up almost 25%, right? So 2 year growth of 25% still means a double digit growth. This quarter YOY growth decline is partly due to high base as well. So we cannot just say that the demand is really weak. The demand came back quite sharply last year, same quarter. That's what you also highlighted. And on that base, we are not seeing our growth coming in. There is no major problem of growth on an overall basis. So I'm just little wondering.
No, you've highlighted it absolutely correctly, that it is on an substantially higher base that we are talking about this challenge. It is, is it that post-COVID there has been an abnormal lull? I'd say that no, last year we bounced back quite well, and at that level is what we are talking about, the flat growth this year.
So that means that demand is not that big an issue. It's probably more of a competition because of which you are not able to take packaging.
That's right. That's right. And also utilization levels, right, to that extent.
Okay. And second point is, I think you alluded it briefly, but we have seen CX margins moving from 5-6% band to 15% also. So on a steady state, or what's your target which you wish to maintain EBITDA margin, assuming things are constant in the external world? What's your target profitability levels that we should be looking at from the company perspective? There can be ups and downs depending on demand, competition, and all those sort of things. But what is your aspirational level, or what is the level at which you would be happy or maintaining your margins?
I would like to see at least somewhere between 12 to 14%. On average, we have been maintaining about 10-11%. But ideally, if we can take it up to that kind of level by at least 3 percentage points higher, that would be much better. So I think that's what I would put as our target, whether it is through mix improvements, shifting our strategic focus to different areas, whether it is international business, OHT business. If we can improve our mix towards these areas, that's what we are endeavoring for. If you look, our two-wheeler business is quite profitable. That's about 30% of our business. OHT today is only about 5%, but we would like to take this up to about 10+% over time. International business, where there's an overlap with OHT, is about 18 to 20% today, but if we can take that up to about 25%. So in that sense, the more profitable categories will be a much larger share of our business. And that's where we are looking at making that shift. And in light of that, also, we have curbed our PBR ambition as well. And we will look at shifting that investment to OHT demand allows that.
So if I take this, sorry, this is the last question. If I take this point a bit ahead, that you want your company's average margins to move towards 12 to 14%, and if you're saying that two-wheeler and exports are a higher margin business, is it fair to assume that two-wheeler and exports will be an 18 to 20% kind of a margin business, and increase in mix of these segments will help you take margins higher, assuming at some point commodities pressure will normalize and you will be able to take price hikes?
That's right. So these are higher margin businesses, and if we can move towards that, it would be is what we are endeavoring for.
Okay, then. Thank you. Thank you so much for the answers.
Thank you, Nishi.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have two or three questions. So first is, when you mentioned that you have cut down your CapEx plans, I wanted to understand the reasons for that. So one is the fact that the profitability and revenues have been hit, so your operating cash flows are weaker, that is one, and then you want to, you know, maintain prudence in terms of leverage on the book. So that is one possibility. The second is that the market share gain targets that you had, for example, in TBR, etc., the achievement of the market share is not as much as you thought. That might be the second reason. And the third reason might be that the overall industry or the overall industry volumes are not as strong as you thought would be. Can you please explain to us which of these three buckets would that decision to cut CapEx fall in?
Right. So for us, I'd say one is, as you largely highlighted, there's been some delays because of the market situation and as well as cash flow with respect to our desire to maintain our debt EBITDA and other key balance sheet ratios. So that has resulted in the delay. But I'd say strategically, we are looking at shifting our focus more towards other categories, which would be international business, OHT business, passenger. Anyways, we have focused on. With that, as we are looking at that shift, we would like to keep some capital, at least as an option, to choose to invest. If we're seeing growth in those categories, these are our priority categories. Truck would be, say, maybe fourth or fifth in terms of our own internal priorities. So if we can invest in our core categories or our focus categories, we would be happier with that. So that's why we've decided to postpone or not, at least currently only focus on that 700 crore of TBR capex. At the max at this point of time.
And in terms of, you know, internal benchmarks of how you expected market share in TBR to progress, is that meeting expectations or is there, you know, some shortfall there?
No, I think on the replacement side, it is slower than what we had hoped for. We were at about 4 to 5%. We moved to about 7% now. We hope to be at about maybe a couple of percentage points more at this point of time.
Thank you. The next question that I had was, in view of the cut in capex and in view of expectations of lower cash flow from operations, when do you expect your debt levels to peak? Is it at the end of FY22 or 23? Can you give some sense on that? I know it's difficult because there are too many moving parts, but internally, how do you think about it? Is it going to peak at 22 end or 23 end? Or can you give some sense?
Kumar, would you like to share that?
I think it could peak in the coming financial year. Okay. We're largely finishing off our capacity expansion CapEx in the coming year. What we had originally planned, that 3,500 crores plus 500 crores of specialty, large part of it would be spent by next year. So that is when it is going to peak.
Got it. Thank you. The last question that I had was, when I look at the inventory adjustment number in the cost of goods sold, I noticed that in 2Q, you had overproduced, which would have resulted in a capitalization of overheads, whereas in 3Q, you have underproduced, which means you have utilized the inventory from the past. So this inventory accounting, how much would have impacted gross margins by in this quarter? Maybe say on a Q2 basis.
Yeah, you're right. I think your reading of that number is right. So it's approximately about 75 crores plus last quarter, that is in quarter two, and 72-73 crores minus in quarter three. So it has a double effect the way gross margin is worked out. You're right.
Kumar, would you be able to quantify the QOQ impact on gross margin because of this?
Yeah, approximately minus increase in inventory versus last quarter versus reduction in inventory. This is about 1.4% approximately.
QOQ basis, 140 days.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, yeah. Just to follow up again on this CapEx debt and realignment of the CapEx across segments. So, you mentioned that one of the reasons the CV represents the pressure is because of competition, and the reason for that is that the market is slow. So, if you could just tell us, what is your sense of the current industry utilization of TBR? And that can give us some idea as to what is the type of pickup we need to see before the pricing comes.
Right. So I think on the TBR side, we have seen actually growth on a year-on-year basis. So even though we are talking about competitive pressures, OEM has seen much stronger growth in the last quarter. Exports has also grown. And to that extent, year-on-year, there has been growth. So utilization levels would not have come down. But when we are talking about pricing impact, and CapEx plans, there are two elements. One is that the pricing pressure is on the replacement side. That is where absolute sales levels have come down. And that is what is causing some amount of pricing pressure. The other question you had was on utilization. For, in our case, at least we have done some amount of capital investment on TBR, and therefore we have upside to grow. I won't have data on the others, but I do believe that others will also have some amount of upside to grow on the TBR side.
Sure. And within TBB and TBR, is it that there's one particular segment where the pressure is more in the replacement in terms of pricing and market, or is it equal across both TBB and TBR?
So TBB is a declining segment altogether. The technology, every year we've been seeing continuously 5% or so negative growth. Approximately 2%, 5%, 0-5%, and that has been taken over by truck radial. Last year was an abnormal year where actually truck bias also grew by about 20%, which was completely unexpected, and therefore the dramatic drop in TBR that we've seen currently. So truck bias, we expect to be continuously under utilization pressure or negative growth, and we will have to shift those capacities to other kinds of bias tires or close down those plants or take those kind of calls at some point of time.
Sure. The second question was on debt and the CapEx. So we are already at 3x debt to EBITDA reported numbers. And you alluded that next year also we are looking at 700-800 crores of CapEx. So if the current situation doesn't improve, we will also have to realign the CapEx for next year, the dividend for the current year. In the sense, we'll keep calibrating the CapEx depending on the cash flows and the debt to EBITDA levels. Or for a year or so, we will be okay and we'll be looking more at a long-term picture. And, maybe for a quarter or two, probably break that 3x a debt to EBITDA number.
Kumar, would you like to?
Yes, sure. No, in the coming year, as of now, I think our plan is to be within the threshold as of 31st March. Okay, and we expect margins to normalize over a period of time. Okay, so as the inflation and commodity prices is moderating at this point in time against 10%, 5%, now it's about 1.5% that we are talking about quarter four. And we hope, you know, margins would normalize in the coming quarters. So, and therefore our cash flow from operations would certainly improve. I think there is still some scope for us to extract some cash from working capital side. I think we would be prudent in the coming year too, and depending on how the next year unfolds, okay, we would moderate our capex in the event, you know, we continue to operate at slightly a lower margin in the coming year. But yeah, our intent is to keep the debt EBITDA within that range of around 3.
Sure. And just lastly on this TBR capex, so because of the pressure that you are seeing in the market of replacement, there's a temporary deferral for maybe 4 to 6 quarters, and then we again aspiration to grow our market share and become a relevant player in TBR over the next 3 to 5 years? Or is it just strategically we have decided that, you know, exports and passenger cars and these are the OST segments where the margins and return capital are far better? So strategically, in terms of priority, now we next 3 quarters want to focus there and improve our margins and return capital rather than look in terms of becoming a very strong player in the TBR segment.
Excuse me, sir.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you may go ahead.
Question was there? Hello.
Yes, please proceed, sir.
My question was audible. Should I repeat the question?
Members of the management, are you able to hear the current speaker?
No, I'm not able to hear the current speaker.
Mr. Casera, I would request you to please repeat your
hello.
Question.
No, sorry. I think my phone went on mute. I'm sorry about that. So I heard the question. I was halfway through the answer, but I didn't realize I was on mute. So, we were all for us. Winning is we are looking at winning in the passenger space. So, which means passenger car, two-wheeler segment, where we are we have very strong momentum in two-wheelers. We are already up there. On the passenger car, we are growing well. For us in truck radial, we never had ambitions to win or gain abnormal, largely be amongst maybe the top one or two players. It is important to be there in the truck radial segment from a scale covering of fixed cost as well as more from the customer side. When you're looking at going to dealers in India, you have to have the entire range of tires. So that's the perspective that we have on truck radial. Going forward, we will manage truck radial or truck more for profit. So we will sell in more profitable segments if we can, and whatever presence we need to have to manage the channel, we will do that. But if we need to increase, for example, international business, which gives us higher margins, we will focus a lot more in that. So over time, as I said, in terms of our growth aspirations will be much higher on the passenger and OHT and international business rather than the domestic truck segment. And that, I'd say our shift has become a little bit more sharper over the last, say, 3-4 months from an intent perspective.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Basudev Banerjee from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks, sir. Timothy just mentioned 140 basis points impact because of the inventory adjustment. Out of the 290 basis points gross margin reduction. So in your initial comments, you also said there was some forex impact. Can you quantify that?
I think your voice was not so clear. Very soft, your voice. I couldn't get the question.
Any audible?
Yes.
Question to Kumar sir, the initial comments you mentioned some forex impact also in this gross margin. Can you quantify that, sir?
No, I didn't mention any forex impact.
Okay. So, second is, sir, because of this second phase of TBR, which you canceled, so at current juncture, if you can mention the TPD, existing Halol capacity and first phase, how much you are adding?
One minute. We are doing about 100, at end, peak capacity, Halol will be at about 140,000 truck tires per month. This will add another 40,000 truck radial as we look, when we look at that first phase of expansion in Chennai for TBR.
So basically, for 40,000 tires per day, this 700 crore for first phase.
That's right.
And that will be operational fully by when, sir?
It would be at least a year and a half from now, not before that. So we had planned for it to be ready. We had planned for it to be ready by end of this year, which is end of this calendar year. We've delayed it by about 9 months at least.
Your existing Halol TBR is operating at what utilization?
We would be at about 75% or so utilization, 70% utilization today. No, 75%, yes.
A good thing that from capital allocation perspective that you are shifting from that low ROC TBR, where market shares are also low, to better margin products. So one thing which came to my mind is, like, typically in those developed markets like Europe, US, the typical difficult route of going through being OEM supplier, then making a mark in replacement. So, like, how are you strategically positioning your brand in those developed markets?
Right. So I say one is on the truck segment. You don't need to be present in OEM for replacement sales. So anyways, if you look at the market, it is about 80-20 or 90-10 towards the replacement segment, even in India or internationally. In the passenger car side too, if you look, there was a very strong Chinese presence in these countries. And to that extent, there have been anti-dumping duties imposed. And there is a strong demand for passenger car tires. In terms of positioning, we will not position ourselves at a Chinese level, but since there is a vacuum, there are opportunities for value players to come in, where we are offering very good quality tires at a much lower price. So to that extent, that is a positioning that we will take and look at entering. So you'll have the maybe Michelin Bridgestone at the highest level, followed by maybe the Kumos, etc., and then it would be largely the Indian players, a few other Korean players is where we would be looking at positioning ourselves.
Sure, that's it. And last question, sir, if quarter by quarter, every time we see the Sri Lankan business numbers, so for example, this quarter I see a standalone console revenue gap of 7 crores and a loss gap of almost 5 crores. So, any plans of hiving that off down the line, because it's not adding much of financial value as such?
No, I think that is maybe because there was that is not correct. I think Sri Lanka margins are very strong. We are at over 15% plus EBITDA margins there. Growth has also been good. We are near monopoly position in Sri Lanka with over 50% market out there. Market share in Sri Lanka. So we're very happy. We don't plan to hive off Sri Lanka. It's a very successful operation.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So first question is on demand elasticity. Do you think that after such a strong price hike that has been taken, it has now started affecting demand or ability of consumer to take the price hike? And that is the reason of this sequential slowdown, because over the last 12 months, if there is a 15-20% hike, is that the key reason of drivers? And secondly, the combination question, even two-wheelers and PV seem to have seen a slowdown, at least on Q1 to basically in the replacement market. Would that assessment be correct?
Okay, so on the truck radial, yes, price increases could have had some impact. I'd say difficult. There are so many aspects that would be there. But, I mean, if you look at their own fuel price increase, has been quite substantial. So yes, inflation would have affected them. As I said, for them also it is important to pass on the price increases, and to a certain extent some amount of that price increase has been passed on. So yes, I would attribute inflation to a certain extent, but there are many other factors which I did share would be having impact on the TBR side. Sorry, what was your second question?
Is there a slowdown on sequential basis, at least in two-wheeler and PCI replacement?
They're largely flat, I'd say. There's on PCUV, there was a little bit of a slowdown on the replacement, but I'd say overall it's been flat. And on the 2-3 wheeler also, marginal drop on a Q-on-Q basis, about 3%, 4% kind of level.
And is this would this be one-off attributable to this Omicron wave, or there is something else that we need to look into it for the sequential slowdown?
So the sequential slowdown was primarily seen only after, say, December 10th. Difficult to attribute. I think Omicron effect really started coming around December 20th or so. Some amount I would attribute to Omicron. Rest of it, I don't have a... I'd say that, is there any other reason? No, nothing else, I think, specifically to say. It's only largely just lower travels, lower footfalls in cities because of Omicron. But the good thing is we have gained share in the passenger segment and at least maintained share in the two-wheeler segment.
So if I have to ask you from your past experience, this kind of price hike that we have seen across, I'm not saying trucks, but even two-wheelers and PCR, I think we have not seen this kind of hike over last 8-10 years. Continuous hike of double-digit hike or more around 15-16% price hike. In the past, we have seen demand getting affected directly or indirectly because of such price hike.
Okay, but
are we reaching that tipping point now?
I don't have an answer to that. I'd say that there are so many aspects, and what kind of impact, in the end, the tire is something which people need to replace, and it can get delayed by 2-3 months time, of 4 months time maximum, but it is a product which is needed by the consumer to change.
Yeah, thanks. Just one last clarification. You mentioned that in the opening remarks, Subhaya said that import transit period has now come down to pre-COVID levels from as high as 60 days. Is this a new normal we should assume, or there was some one-off event which led to that, or it was even low as, even if it is around 30-35 days, is this a new normal?
Yeah, I think so. It went up substantially. Now it's come back to normal. New normal means it's currently at pre-COVID level. So I think it should be taken as a normal. At least Southeast Asia to India, it's kind of come back to normal levels.
Yeah, it is normal. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mukesh Saraf from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. Most of my questions are answered. Just wanted to check on the sequential volume decline on the replacement side. You had mentioned 4.5% is overall. How would that be, say, for the truck and bus? Because truck and bus, obviously, YOY, you said, is 20% decline.
Sequential decline for truck and bus on a quarter-and-quarter basis.
Yeah.
I would say across the board?
The truck and bus largely, yeah.
So, you're talking across all three categories? Replacement, OE and...
No, I'm just looking at replacement truck and bus.
Replacement truck and bus, I think, has been largely flattish between... If I'm right, it is about largely flattish. Truck radial has come down a little bit, whereas truck bias has been flattish.
Right. And obviously November, December, we've seen some ease on diesel costs, etc. for fleet operators. So
like you mentioned that they have now passed on some of these earlier cost hikes for them. So have you started seeing some improvement in these volumes around December or January with respect to replacement?
No, not yet at this point of time. I think we've seen a similar kind of demand situation in January as we are in the case of, as in, say, November, December.
Okay, so that hasn't yet started picking up. Yeah. And just lastly, your market shares on the replacement side, again, truck and bus, it hasn't changed much on the bias and radial side of it, or do you think radial side of it, there's been some loss in market share?
No, we would have largely maintained our market share. I don't think there's any change on the CV side. Also, we are at relatively low market share, so on a low base, we are remained at that level.
Okay. Thank you so much for this. That's about it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Siddharth Behera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So on this market share, when you have said that in the PVs also you have sort of gained some bit, what will be the number we are at now for PVs and say for two wheelers in the replacement?
So passenger vehicle, we will be at about 14% kind of market share, and on the 14-15% kind of levels, and on in the case of two wheeler, somewhere about 27-28% market share.
Okay, so as per the internal targets, any ambitions you have for this passenger vehicle segment to where it can go up to, say, in the medium term?
Yes, we'll be looking at 17-20%, at least a 5% shift.
Okay, okay. And for the overall volumes, like in the last time you said, you were looking at a low single-digit type of growth for the 22. So next year, factoring in these catalysts of higher OHT and exports at PC, what will be a number you would be targeting internally for the overall volumes for us?
Overall volume growth for next year?
Yes.
So I think some amount, volume, I mean, difficult to give a specific number. I would say couple of base effect issues will be there on, or positives will be there, that there was a wave two in this year, which had a little bit of a lower situation in quarter one. So that extent, there's again, maybe another, say, 3-4% impact in the year will come because of that. There'll be an inflationary impact also of maybe 3-4% that can come in. So that itself at a value level will, value and volume will be maybe 5-6%. And then say if you look at 8-10% growth in volume terms is at least what we should look at, maybe even higher.
Got it. And lastly, sir, on the margins front, so if we look at in terms of the hierarchy, will it be fair to say that in two-wheelers, the replacement will be the highest, followed by passenger car the replacement? How to understand this hierarchy for you?
Yes, I think it will be two-wheeler and OHT will be the highest margin, followed by passenger and then followed by commercial vehicle.
Okay, okay. And any broad range if you can share, highest to the least?
No, we can broadly share that this is how it is in the replacement segment. OEM across the board will be relatively low, substantially lower. And exports will be not very different from replacement at an overall level.
Got it. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. In earlier comments, you mentioned about, aspirational margins of 12-14%. Now, assuming that 1.5% cost increase, which is in Q4, would see at least in near future, that 12% aspirational margins would require roughly about 7-7.5% price increase further. Would that be right assumption?
Yeah, it will be a mix of price increase and your mix change.
Ceteris Paribus product mix remains same as quarter three. It would require about 7-7.5% kind of change.
That's right. Assuming mix remains the
change
same.
In favor of, sorry. Sorry,
yeah,
Argo.
So I think product mix and market mix both. We have to move towards more profitable areas. So I think that will result in hopefully a differential with competition and or differential from the average norm of say 10%. And the balance will come from price increase. So 5-6% additional price increase. If you take 1.5% further inflation into this quarter, then that may become, as I said, from 5-6% maybe.
Now, that 5-6%, you know, over and above whatever we have done still, I mean, if I look at overall price increase, would total up to about, you know, 17-18% kind of a number. While that number may look very large on standalone, you know, basis, if one were to look at, but if I look at about 3 year, you know, 3.5 year kind of inflation, you know, total increase in the tire prices would be just about, you know, amounting to about 5.5-6%. Why is there, you know, so much of resistance across all the players to, you know, sort of do this when, you know, the number on let's say slightly longer term is not that large for market to digest, given that, you know, our own volumes are now, you know, in are you know, sort of, though they have declined QoQ, but still one of the highest ever in our history as yet. Why so much resistance across all the players?
So I don't have an answer to that. But all I can say is that the last 12 months has been about 15%, which is fairly high. But yes, if you spread it out over 2 years' time, hopefully that, I mean, that number 2 years or 3 years, it will come down. Last 10 years, there's been no inflation, zero.
Right.
So
right.
In the end, it's just competitive pressures, and I don't have an answer to explain why it is happening.
And did I hear correct when you you mentioned that there has been no loss of market share even after all these price increases for us across all
the
product lines?
Yes, because the price increases has been across the board, right? And I say we have gained market share on the passenger car UV. The balance, we would have largely maintained our market share.
Okay, sure, sure. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishal from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question, sir. Just you know, confirm 2 points, sir. Your new TBR capacity, you said in Chennai, will add approximately around 140 TPD, if I'm not wrong. So, sir, by the end of this expansion, what will be the overall capacity for TBR you will have? In terms of TPD?
No, I said it will add about 40,000 tires per day. In tons per day, I said it will add. We are at 140,000 tires, not tires per day. 140,000 tires per month is our current capacity in Halol. Or shortly it will be. It will be our peak capacity at Halol. Another 40,000 tires will get added, which is about 45 tons per day.
Got it. Got it. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, I can
thank you. That was my question.
On the tons per day. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Disha Seth from Anvil Shares. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning. I just wanted to ask the 20-25% sales drop in truck bus replacement, truck buys, the trend should continue. You know, it is overall the industry scenario that the bias is coming out and radialization is picking up. So it's not because of the higher base, right?
No, no, the bias will continue to come down. Absolutely, you're right. But I'm saying overall CV market, you have to look at it at an overall level. So that will continue to grow.
Okay, but so every quarter or every year on year, we see this bias capacity coming down and we can see the drop in sales because of that bias, but it is not because of the demand that's where I'm coming.
So bias is coming down. If you look at a year on year basis, even I spoke about data of the overall CV segment on a year on year basis for quarter three. So for quarter three, last year was a very high base because we saw a 25% growth on a year-on-year basis from FY21 to FY21, and now into 22, we are seeing a, we have therefore seen a drop in CV demand.
Okay.
Not only bias, but I say on average across the board, less bias, negative.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even jaded some. Okay. And sir, for PCR replacement, how is the demand momentum since the Omicron wave has peaked out and things are improving? PCR replacement OEM and two-wheeler replacement OEM.
So two-wheeler replacement OEM is under pressure. I'd say last year, last quarter also, there was a fair amount of cuts that were taken by the two-wheeler OEM. So to that extent, that is continuing. Sorry, which other categories did you want to know?
And two-wheeler replacement is also down, right?
Two-wheeler replacement is stable. It is steady, I would say. It's not down versus, say, previous quarter. It is quite steady.
Okay. And PCR OEM and replacement?
PCR OEM, I think, was affected because of this chip shortage. As that eases, it will pick up because I think the order base is pretty strong for the passenger car players.
And replacement, the momentum in Q4 looks good?
Positive. I'd say right now, quarter four, maybe, as I said, latter half of Jan, early part of December, some impact of Omicron in the cities is there. But I think that will again come down as Omicron kind of ends. I'd say we are still kind of going through the wave. Hopefully, in another 15-20 days, things will be better.
Okay, okay. So that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anand from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to check, given the current realizations, what is the, after all the capacity expansion, what is the, kind of target revenue potential that we have from the capacity? And not only that, are the new capacities also, kind of achieving a similar asset turnover, and or are the investments getting costlier?
A lot of our large capital investments that we had planned is coming to an end. So we had planned about 3,500 crores. I think we have about another 1,000 crores that is left over the course of the next, say, 12 to 15 months' time. Means another maybe 100, 150 crores in this year, another 700, 800 crores into next year. So it is more of the balance capex that is left. We will be doing about 100, 150 crores into debottlenecking, which is already also getting spent as we speak. So a large part of the greenfield expansions is over. Now whatever will happen is more likely to be more brownfield, and therefore that will help. And then we have enough headroom to grow. So we will have enough, maybe enough capex for another 25% growth going forward. So passenger car, truck radial, except for OHT, we will have enough headroom for the next, say, year and a half to 2 years. So very little plan for next year for any new capexes, except small capex in OHT.
So we will have to go for the next round of capex probably from FY24. Is that right?
Yes, we'll wait and watch in terms of how the demand situation unfolds, how things turn out at that point. But it's largely the latter half of the capexes is left for us, which will happen in the coming year.
Sure. And lastly, any comments on the asset turnover?
As I said, should get better. I mean, there will be, with steel inflation, etc., will machinery get expensive as we go forward? That could have some impact, but tire prices are also inflating to a certain extent. But besides that, asset turnover should improve because we are doing largely only brownfield. So you don't have land, you'll have much less building costs that will be there, more about machinery and all that you will have to be putting in, at least for the next phase of, say, PCR and PBR, etc.
Sure. I mean, just in terms of, the ratio, I'm just looking at, if we put an investment of 100 crores, can our revenues be 120, 130 crores from the investment, or will it be only 1x?
Absolutely. No, it will be between 1 and 1.25, absolutely right. Two-wheeler will be higher, passenger car will be close to 1, 1.1. Maybe TBR is a little bit on the higher side. Maybe again 1.2, 1.25 type levels.
Sure, thanks. That was helpful. All the best, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for closing comments.
Thank you all for your interest in SEAT, and
and for your time this morning. Look forward to catching up with you again next quarter. Take care and stay safe. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Kotak Securities Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.